Broadcasting 2.0 for September 9th, 2022, episode 101, Loops Not Lists. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the weekly board meeting. It's the only one you need to attend in your life. It is the one for Podcasting 2.0. Everything that's going on at podcastindex.org with the namespace, with the industry, and of course, all the trash we talk on podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man most likely to receive the first knighthood from the new king. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Guess what I'm doing as we speak?
I don't know, some royal duties?
No, not royal duties. I'm tweeting the, or tooting the...
You're tooting the show.
Start of the show. Yeah, I'm tooting the show.
All right.
But did you know, I just found this out like yesterday. Do you know how when somebody talks about a shotgun is like a 12 gauge, 10 gauge, 16 gauge, do you know what how they determine that, what the gauge means?
I only know 12 and 20, and I know 20 is smaller, so no. Is it, oh wait, is it by the size of the ear you can shoot a hole through for one of those hip looking big rings?
No, it is.
Oh, so surprise.
There's 10, 12, 16, 20 gauge. I'm sure there's a few more, but those are the ones that are the most common. I've been using this terminology my whole life. I never realized what that means. So the way you determine the gauge of a shotgun is that number means how many lead balls of the diameter of the barrel it takes to make 1 pound.
No way.
Yeah. So a 10 gauge shotgun is 10 lead balls of that size, barrel diameter.
Yeah.
Will make a pound.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense why a 20 gauge is smaller than a 12. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And 410. So I've got a double barrel 410. The 410 is not a gauge. That's a caliber. So that's wholly different.
Yeah. The judge can shoot those.
Yeah, it'll go both ways, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It does. Well, I gave it to Rogan as a welcome to Texas gift. It was given to me when I came to Texas, so I figured I'd give it to Joe, and then he can.
Oh, it just gets passed around for new arrivals.
Yeah, it's like those chicks with the blue jeans, only we do it with a gun.
Okay.
What was that movie? the Secret Society of the Pants.
The Traveling Pants.
The Traveling Pants. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Hey, I got my first Podverse alert today.
Of live?
For the live, yeah, I'm very excited. And this is because I got a new phone and I loaded Graphene OS onto it. And, I was using a Pixel 4 for, I don't know, years and years with Graphene OS. Thing goes on forever. It's like, fine. Love the size. Love everything about it. Battery stays, it's still good.
What phone did you get?
Well, you're pretty restricted with Graphene OS. And so the reason why I got it is... I felt it was time to clean up, it's like, okay, now I really know how Graphene OS functions. I'd like to kind of start over again. And the selfie camera had started getting, got cloudy. So if I did a call with my daughter, she's like, Dad, take the filter off. I'm like, that's not a filter. So I asked our guy at noagendaphone.com, who does this as a service, but he also has very detailed instructions on how to do it yourself. I said, I'll do it myself. But he said, get a Pixel 6a, which I'm generally very happy with, but it's bigger than I really like. It's a little bigger.
I don't like a big phone. I've got the iPhone mini.
I prefer that. And, and I don't like cases, but I really need to put something around this because it's very vulnerable. It feels vulnerable. Anyway, it's a solid device. And it was actually quite an interest. So I finally figured out how to use the sandbox Google stuff. And so, if you can download something from the Play Store and run it in its own little sandbox, which, really locks out all of your other system, it can't talk to apps outside of that. It can't, you can really determine if it gets any geolocation data. And so you can also determine, hey, let this app pass on an alert.
So this is what you're talking about is that thing where it like proxies, it logs into the store for you with some other account.
No. This is, You literally log in with an existing Google account, except when you load the app onto your phone. Now, of course, whatever you're doing, you know, Google knows what you're doing, obviously. So you got to choose wisely. Right. But the app itself runs in a sandbox that is separate from the rest of the phone. So it can't be talking to other apps and getting all kinds of sensor data without your explicit permission on all of these things. I mean, it's very granular.
And so I'm assuming that kills it in the background so that it's not just resident all the time tracking you and that kind of thing.
No.
Like the Play Store.
No, I mean, you have, it's a Graphene OS app, which is this sandboxed Play Store and Play Services. So you can still use them. I mean, obviously, please, no need to email me.
Advice. You need lots of advice to email, is what you're saying.
But then the thing that got me was Tailscale all of a sudden didn't work. And then I realized, oh, man, I'm really reliant on Tailscale in my life. This thing is so genius. I can't live without it. Oh, yeah, I mean, just to get to my umbrals, I have, I saved a web application, like a web app page. Mm-hmm. You know, so just boom, you get into your umbral right away, or in helipad with a shortcut. I mean, all this stuff is great. And then, oh, man, because I have a domain name mapped to it. So, I don't have to remember IP addresses. Because you just put in the A record, even though it resolves to, whatever private address it is.
The business use case for that stuff is strong, too, because they have like incredible access control lists and stuff. Oh, man. It is. I was reading through the documentation for it the other day. And you can just create entire,
networks,
virtual private networks.
With SSL certs, even if you want to go one step further.
Yeah. Yeah. And DNS, like proxy DNS and all this. Yeah. That's crazy.
So that was the thing that I had a problem with. It wasn't doing the proxy DNS on the phone anymore. And it's apparently something the way that, here's what I found, even though it should work without that, by default, the Android 13, I guess it is, VPN system, whatever that is, subsystem. Does that sound cool? Subsystem. The VPN subsystem decides to automatically block all traffic that is not going through the VPN.
Okay.
So since Tailscale is not a tunnel, you're not tunneling somewhere for all the other IP addresses. You're really only using it to get to your private networks.
Right.
It blocks everything else.
Because that's the difference between Tailscale and something like a VPN is that the VPN, or to do a VPN properly, you tunnel everything. You can
with Tailscale. You can use one of your computers as an exit node. That's not the default, though. No, it's not the default. No. So I just couldn't figure it out. Of course, it was DNS, and so once I flipped that off, oh, okay, now it all works again. But that was one of those showstopper moments.
It's always DNS.
That's exactly what I said. Oh, it's always DNS. And then I'm so jazzed that this Saturn thing came out, which connects to the Albi wallet.
Have you played with it? I have not had a chance.
I hooked it up this morning, and I put an additional 1% into the podcasting 2.0 block. Value block, and nothing was happening, nothing. And all of a sudden, in the last 14 minutes, it's starting to work. I have Booberry with 169 sats, Chad F. Let me see, do I have anything? So yeah, it's showing me episodes now. This thing is very cool. And I can't wait to have enough data in here. Just look at the charts. I mean, this blew me away. And is this the LB guys themselves, or is this partners they're working with?
That's them, I think. Pretty sure it's them, yeah.
Man, this is mind-boggling.
So let me look at our value block here, because value block's getting heavy.
Well, let me tell you this. I see successful payments in different apps, but it doesn't come through.
Okay.
And
I think we need to pare this down a bit. There's too many splits. It's causing problems. Yeah. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 splits.
No, well, I've seen 10 go, no problem.
Seven. It's just so slow, though. Like, I don't need, you can take my stay safe node off. I would say me off and just replace me with Saturn. That way we can both see it.
But do you think that this is the problem? I mean, I don't know what routing is. I have no idea. I mean, if seven splits in the block is a problem, that's something we need to address. And just taking shit out, I don't think is the way to address it.
I wasn't trying to be technical. I really was just thinking of it more like from a troubleshooting standpoint, where you pare things down first.
Oh, okay.
There's two things, you know, there's that aspect of it. And then there's also the fact that you have seven fees, you know, I mean, there's routing fees for mm-hmm. every one of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you don't, that's not good either. Cause we can't really, especially like Boostbot or me, my node, I don't know where that route's going to go. It may go through something that's got higher fees than we would like.
Sure. That's a good point.
If we
this is something we need to look at. And I don't know. I mean, this is a new system. I'm receiving everything with the same fee amount on my own Umbral, the Boostagram monitor. I'm mm-hmm. receiving everything there. So it could also be the routing to Albi. Just before we start ripping stuff up, and I think we still need to look at what are the limitations, what are the apps seeing as limitations for each payment. I mean, it's just stuff we need to look at. And if that's what we're hitting now, let's look at it now. Even if we're not, this is important. Well,
that would be the other way to look at this is as a troubleshooting exercise, is that we could be the test case for how many splits do you do in there? Can you use until it begins to have problems?
Okay. Right.
But I mean, we can just keep going. We can put 14 splits in there.
Right. I just like to, I'd like to figure out why this is happening. Now, what I'm seeing here, so this 169 sats, that's probably the split amount. So that would have, let me see. What did Booberry do about 14 minutes ago? Booberry sent 17,776. So that one got through. So it must be a fee issue.
The fee is outweighing
the fee is outweighing the payment, I think.
Yeah, because I got 17,776 from Booberry on helipad.
Right. And so I see here Chad F 96. So that means that was what, 1,000 1,000 sats? Oh, 10,000. Yeah. Okay. So this is likely a liquidity / fee issue / routing issue.
Yeah, and that really seems like the most logical explanation when it comes to if a lot of splits was going to cause a problem.
Yeah,
it seems like it would manifest itself as a fee issue. Slowness, number one, but then above and beyond that, like if payments just don't arrive, it would be a fee issue.
Now, maybe this is what it's been all along, and maybe I just didn't get it. Is an AMP payment? Can you put together an AMP payment that doesn't necessarily assemble all at the same end, but goes out to, so for instance, AMP payment, and we say send these in different directions, or these are the different places, and it's one payment and it splits through AMP, or that works?
Yeah, that does work. The continuous problem with AMP is lack of support. If it goes through a route, or if it goes through a channel where AMP is not supported by one end of that channel, like I'm not sure if C-Lightning supports AMP.
Roy can weigh in on this. Roy knows exactly where this is at. And I know he prefers AMP, so if we can support it and start pushing it, because that may solve our problem.
But we do support it.
No, I know. Is it on the index node? I don't think so. I don't think it's turned on. I don't think it's on by default.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. You may be right about that.
I know. I think the Zeus wallet doesn't have it on. It seems like something that's not on by default. Even though, I think the switch is try AMP payment if possible. So you know, it could just delay the payment altogether, you know, delay it until, okay, that didn't work. Now let me try it the old school way. I think we should, it sounds like we should start supporting that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just by turning it on and using it.
I don't know which node softwares support AMP and which ones don't. Let me see. Let me look up. I wonder if C Lightning, because that's the other major one. I mean, you got async out there well.
But I mean, there's support in the node software itself, and then there's support in the wallets, support in the nodes, in the routes, you know, in routing nodes. Right. The apps have to package things differently, I guess, to make an AMP payment.
Atomic Multipath. That's on LND's page. I don't see anything about AMP with Core Lightning. Native AMP support. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that that's supported. And if it's not, then that wouldn't be good. Because, I mean, there's plenty of Core Lightning out there. I don't know. Roy needs to tell us what's going on.
But have you thought about this problem? You had other ideas?
I mean, I don't see it really being an issue right now. I mean, I don't see a lot of payments failing.
Well, that's
lack of liquidity.
No, but it's only failing now. The smaller payments are failing to the Albi split.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's a small pay, but each payment from, let's just take, okay, so take Podverse, for example, or that's not a good example. Take Castomatic. Castomatic, when it splits that seven ways, it's going to send seven individual payments.
Understood. And with
Seven individual fees, yeah. So a payment of 700 sats, if that doesn't make it, I'm not sure AMP is going to save you very much. Because, I mean, that's if it fails because of fees on a 700 sat payment, you're so far down the line at that point. So it's going to find, you know, the only way that would save you is if it somehow found a channel that's got 1,000 sats of liquidity.
Right. But I believe that we have a channel between us and Albi. And, you know, LNPay is effectively on our node.
Yeah. But what I'm saying though is that if you can't get a 700 sat payment through without AMP, I'm not sure you're going to get it through with AMP either.
Understood. Completely understood. I'm curious why a payment which should not even have a single fee in it, because it should be our node directly to Albi, because we have a channel, so there's no routing fee.
But you're saying that it did not. You're saying the payments. Are we troubleshooting this because payments are failing to Albi, or are we afraid they are?
No, they are. That's what I'm saying. Right? Yeah, they are. It seems anything under 10,000 sats, I'm not getting a 1% split to the Albi node. That's what I'm saying. I only have two so far out of the.
Are they both from the same app?
I see Fountain. Two from Podverse. I just got one from. Okay, here we go. We got one from Fountain. Maybe it's maybe caching. People caching. Yeah, that could be it too.
If it's not DNS, it's caching.
Hold on a second. I got one sat, but that's interesting. It hasn't updated on Helipad yet. Huh.
You know, Helipad's a slow piece of crap compared to Albi. That's the problem.
Hey, I don't want to ever hear you talking about Helipad like that. That's incredibly rude. All right, so you know what? Maybe it's just caching. We'll let it shake out a little bit. See how it does.
It's caching. It's got to be caching. We're, that's what we're going to go with.
Okay, it's caching. All right, everybody. Fire right. Drill over. It was caching.
Next. speaking of Albi, I'm in the throes of adding Albi wallet support to Podcaster Wallet.
Oh, fantastic! Because did you see that they just added? Tipping to SoundCloud?
Oh, no.
Yes, I'm telling you. SoundCloud, we gotta get that connection made because people are going to want it. And let's not get them in the habit of tipping.
But there, nobody actually works at SoundCloud, though. It's all AI.
But we don't need them. We don't need their permission.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We don't have,
you don't need their permission. Have to ask. No. Claim your feed here. As we discussed, do you have... music tracks in your feed, whatever the language is, click. Yes. Your music medium equals music bit gets flipped. It's a shim, but we got to help these fuckers because, Discomatic. Now, what are they called?
Dystopia.
Discomatic.
Discomatic. That's their new name. Discomatic.
From now on, Discomatic, yes. Dystopia. Yeah. These guys are hot and heavy on it. It's going to happen. It's the same as the hosting companies. It may even go a little bit faster, but we have to put a little shim in there because of the music flag.
Well, Ryan Heiss sent me some links. That topic I was talking about where you could like detect whether something is music or audio, or speech automatically. Like he sent me some stuff. You totally can. That's a evidently well-trodden territory.
Well, you know what? I would love for you to do it.
I'd like to take a, here was my idea. So take the weekly giant dump and download it, massive giant dump, the weekly dump. Massive dump
and massive dump
and go run through, because one of the things contained in the massive dump is the most recent enclosure URL. So you could run through that. Well, run may be a little optimistic. You could crawl through that and grab the URL of every of each enclosure, and then run the analysis on it and see if it's music or speech, and then sort of build a profile across the index of which, how many, and which podcasts are. Speech versus music. That'd be a really good first crack at that, to see if there's pockets. And then we would increment a counter. So if it finds a music podcast enclosure, we increment a counter on the host description so that we can say, okay, there's maybe by the end of this thing, there's 75,000 podcasts that seem to be music, and they're clustered in these hosts, maybe SoundCloud, Dystopia, whatever. RSS Blue. I don't know if you saw RSS Blue, fairly new hosting company. They got music, the medium tag is evidently baked into their UI, and there's quite a few music podcasts right out of the gate.
What are they doing for wallets?
They support the, putting in your value block.
Oh, but so I don't know. So you get shuttled through. So
I think it's Albie. I think they're connected to Albie.
So the only thing we need then, and I'm fine, not at you without saying it, you don't want to add the shim to Podcaster Wallet. You don't want to add the medium is music. I know you don't.
I don't, because it's so sketchy.
Good.
Don't know.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. We still need to change the language for someone who wants to sign up for music. How do we get that done? Do we change the existing? Again, I think if people have to go to a place called Podcaster Wallet to get their music in, I think we'll fail. So it's purely perception. How about this? Maybe the way you find out how much music is in there. That sounds like a pretty cool project, actually.
Sounds kind of fun.
And in the meantime, just like RSS Blue, and in a way, like Fountain, I would hope that someone would make an app where you can actually do the onboarding. So here's your new music 2.0 app. and here's what it does. And if you if you're an artist and you're either on the and if you're here, mm-hmm. Claim your feed and get your wallet if you're not with RSS Blue or whatever. So the onboarding would have, is that what RSS Blue is doing? They're doing the same as Fountain with us, interacting with the value block, or they're putting the block into the RSS feed?
I'm looking right now. They're putting the block into the feed. And I think they may have done an integration with Albi, but I'm not sure. They may just have fields.
Okay.
I don't know. I have to go back and look.
Okay.
But they have the, it's there. The stuff's there.
No, this is actually a good idea. So probably a good way to kickstart this is if you're interested in doing that project to find out what's in the system.
Yeah, for sure.
And we mark that up and say, okay, and, you know, either temporary or whatever, a special endpoint, music flag, experimental, then app developers can do something. Then they have some content they can use. That's all we need. We need the content. That I don't care how we get it in there. If it's already in there and we can find it, then I think we'll see the app. I mean, this is the way to go. Podcaster Wallet is such a fucking crutch. I love it, but it's not the way to go. What Fountain did is the way to go. And then, of course, hosting companies doing feeds directly, totally the way to go. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm down with
that. Somehow I've talked myself out of what I wanted. Fuck, you're good, Dave Jones.
You're good. I can push the mind. I'm the mule. I'm the mule. I really want this music stuff to be figured out pre-hackathon.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that's going to be salivation. You know, that's going to be make people salivate. To have more to use.
Briefly, tell me, what is the output of the system you're thinking of doing?
So in my head, what I was thinking is go run through the dump, grab every enclosure URL, and it's the most recent one as of the time of the massive dump. So grab each enclosure URL. It would have to be downloaded and then run an analysis on it using one of these tools and then keep a running count of which ones are music and which hosting provider it is. And then at the end of it, what it would output is here's how many podcasts contain music content and which hosting companies are ones that contain music content. Parallel to that, it would also be outputting each individual feed, like, you know, with the feed URL or the podcast index ID.
Sure.
So that we could go back and mark them as music in the database directly.
Now, will we mark them permanently as music or some temp flag or something so that we know?
I think I would flag it as music because it's not going to hurt it. It's not going to change the podcast. It's not going to change the API output in any way.
Oh, it's just how the apps interpret that.
Right. The only way that the output of the API would be affected is if you called the endpoint, if you made a call to the podcast by tag. By tag medium or no, it's podcast. I can't remember the name. There's an API endpoint that we made that gives you back only music podcasts that have declared the music medium. That would now output all those ones we flagged, mm-hmm. but nothing else about any of the output would change. So it wouldn't harm anything. And we would know with a great degree of confidence that these podcasts do in fact contain music material.
Yeah, right. I think it
would be a good,
I love it.
It's a good interim.
For sure.
If we have a list to say, okay, these five podcast hosting providers contain a lot of music content, we can then get in touch with them directly and say, hey, y'all got a bunch of music on there. Why don't you declare the music medium tag?
Love it.
You already got it.
Yep. Love it. Love it. All right. Meeting adjourned.
All right. All right, see you all next week.
Oh man.
I'm going to do that. I'll do that after I finish with the, Albie Podcaster wallet connector thing. Cause the way that's going is in the Podcaster wallet dashboard, just let you know, it's like right now it has Sphinx, Voltage. So see Sphinx, Voltage. What's the other one?
Ellen Pay?
No, not Ellen Pay. Satoshi Stream. Sphinx, Voltage, Satoshi Stream, and then custom. Add your own custom node.
Right. You can add Albie. Yeah,
there'll be another one. I'll add Albie, and it'll be a connector. It'll kick you out to Albie. You'll say, yeah, I'm good. You know, I want to connect my wallet. And then it'll
here's a question. Back. So,
all right.
It would seem to me that Albie or Saturn could actually do that. They should be able to onboard from their end too. So, hey, look at these sexy stats. You want that? Sign up here. And then they just hit the back end without actually going to Podcaster Wallet. And so, you know, you don't have to fill all that stuff out.
Yeah. So we did that for Fountain and for Satoshi Stream. They have direct access now.
Yeah. I think Albie should consider that.
Now it's up to the provider who we do this for to do the valid feed owner validation checking. They have to go through those hoops.
We don't do. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Because we don't get a chance to at that point.
Nor do we, because that's a huge pain in the ass.
Right, and this is another reason why we need to make progress on the
verify
tag. So, because I want to get out of this game. Here's what I would love to do, and this is across the entire index. This is not just for this use case. Across the entire index, I would love to get rid of email address. I don't want to hold anybody's email addresses ever. And what that means is, when you sign up for the API. It holds your email address temporarily so that it can verify your identity. Then once you've verified, it takes your email address and hashes it. Okay. And then stores the hash.
Okay.
So that when you go back to log in the future, you're just logging in. You log in with your email address and password. It hashes both of them, not just the password, and compares it to the database that way. Okay. That way we don't have... And if you ever forget your password, you're going to have to just type your password, your email address in. It'll again do the hash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it affects anybody. We can remove all the email addresses from our entire database, podcasts and signups and Podcaster Wallet and all that stuff.
I like it.
Because that way we don't ever have to worry about, you know, any of this stuff like GDPR and all this kind of junk. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff because we don't hold anything.
And we don't need it really except for that one function.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's really the verification part's the only thing we need it for. And I think we can do that with just hashes. Beautiful. I'm fine with it.
All right. All right. Hello, Deutschland. Hello, Deutschland. Do you hear me?
God, we've been going for like 30 minutes. We've already solved like two major problems.
Well,
we're on a roll, baby.
I also have some thoughts about stuff I've been reading and hearing this week.
Okay.
From the podcast industry. Seriously.
Your favorite term.
Well, no, I have clarity. I have a lot of clarity.
I would like to benefit from your clarity.
The podcast industry, I realize, is actually the podcast industrial complex. and it's not dissimilar. It's really not dissimilar. I mean, if you think of the military industrial complex, is where I'm borrowing the word from, of course. And the mm-hmm. fact that people call it the industry. I mean, in our industry, the industry, sometimes interchangeable with space.
Space.
Or community, which I despise. You know, it's bullshit. Yeah. It's not that way. When we started this, Dave, you and I, just the two of mm-hmm. us, just the two of us.
Which just grew,
the two of us. Us. Yes.
Mm.
There's love in the air. With two things in mind. One is, you know, this deplatforming is bullshit. No, we're not going to have that. Actually, three things. Two was we need to do all the heavy lifting so software developers can get in the game. And then we needed to have a censorship-resistant payment system, which also was able to include everybody in the game, in the flow, including the developers. And I'm still very convinced that that is not an insignificant driver, the fact that everybody sees that there's potential for everyone to catch a piece of this. And it's a lot more fun when you share, and it's not just the podcaster getting all the money, which is kind of what had happened with the podcast industrial complex. And very similar to
having this term, by the way.
Thank you. Very similar to having consultants and lobbyists and governance boards. You know, what we discovered is there was this huge monolith of interconnected pieces that called themselves the industry, and they were stagnant. We saw centralization, stagnation. Worse, we saw not the first, not the second, maybe the fourth try by Silicon Valley, in this case, Stockholm Valley, to come in and capture podcasting, and we can own it all. And, you know, it's failed many times before. To a degree where they're so brazen, they're like, yeah, we don't even do this RSS shit. So, of course, RSS is the reason why this works. And the cool thing about RSS was you didn't need anybody's permission. You just show up with your RSS feed and the server and you plop it down. In general, you don't need anyone's permission. Now, of course, we have a very nicely decentralized hosting category of companies. All relatively small, medium enterprises, you know, all start as a cottage industry, and they serve their clients very well. And this is a very small group. It's like pilots, you know, like helicopter pilots. There's only so many of them. But the people who are in it, you know, the mechanics, the instructors, the flight line, FBOs. I mean, there's a lot of people. It's, you know, you can call that an industry, community, whatever you want to call it. But podcasting is unique because you really don't need anything or anybody. You don't really even need money, just a little bit, if just to host stuff. So as I'm reading, and, you know, there's many people I respect and have known for, you know, going on two decades, listening to different podcasts and how they're all processing the hurt and the shame of podcast movement. At first, I'm just like, holy crap. Are we still talking about this? Are we still trying to listen to each other and all this? I'm like, hold on a second. But here's what I keep hearing in these conversations, in these pieces. And I'm confused by it. You know, we as an industry, interchange community, you know, whatever, but industry, we have an obligation to lift unheard voices. And I'm like, how can you not be heard in an open system? What are you talking about? That everybody can be heard. It's equal. Now, where it's not equal is in platforms. You know, so is this about getting equal exposure in Spotify? I mean, the times I've been on the front page of Apple, I can count on half a hand. Yeah, seriously. I've spent the time. I did the grind, and you know, and here we are. So initially, I was thinking, these people are missing the point. Like, does that mean that we all have to be on the same town square? This is what they say a lot about Twitter. Well, it's the town square. It's the public square. You know, no. To me, it's like, where in history did the whole world or a whole city come together at one time on a square? You don't. You got your square in Chinatown, you got your square in Little Italy, you got your square in Brooklyn, you know, all these different squares, and, you know, and now we can actually interconnect them. I thought these people are just missing the point. It's like, what are you trying to raise up? Anybody can get the same exposure. I was missing the point. This is about who's in the relatively small money square. And this is the key part of the military-industrial complex, where we literally have boards and Starfleet commands who decide, you know, that equity is important, and we need more of this, and we need to have more of these people. Again, in an open system, I don't understand what they're talking about. Then it dawned on me, it's who gets the money. And I literally heard, I read this today on Pod News. You know, someone did a an analysis of the podcast industry. So again, the podcast industrial complex. And it's like, oh, here's the conclusion. White men run it. You know, and who they have, Sirius XM. I mean, so I'm looking at these, like this iHeart, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Acast, Odyssey. You know what? Fuck all this. Yeah, absolutely. White men run that business. So now I understand they're using the racial angle or inclusivity, the DEI, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, to force people into cutting up the pie and cutting other people in. And in my view, and I don't think this is purposeful, but it's just it's very normal for, and you know, I have no problem. I love people who serve in the military. There's also people I know who are administrative in the military, and they all know it's a shit show, and I don't hate them individually, but en masse, it's a huge shit show. And that's what this is, only it's not as much money as the military industrial complex. So that's why I saw hundreds of consultants. And, you know, I think you sent me a link about this, this one consultant, you know, who built up her business, you know, selling ads on podcasts. And then, you know, she's finally hit the big time and she's going to New York and, you know, she goes and collects some diverse people and then goes to a corporation and says, okay, I need $200,000 to produce this series. And now
a series of like six episodes.
And now my mind is like, oh, okay. We're recreating Hollywood. Got it. And here's the only thing that the podcast industrial complex has as a unique selling proposition: brand safety and suitability. That's it. Hey, we can show you brand safety and suitability. Look at our hosts. Look at who's producing it. Look at the mix. How can that be wrong? So all they're really doing, this all they have as something extra is brand safety. It's, you know, it's like, and it's a part of ESG. I even heard, as I was listening and reading, there's now talk of what, and this came out of this whole fracas with Ben Shapiro. Now people talking about universal labeling system for podcasts. So not just audiences, but advertisers know what's inside.
Well, the nutrition label.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. now, and that's all fine. I'm perfectly okay with it. I'm not interested in it. I don't want to compete in it. I find it sad that people are tricked into thinking they have a shot in it. If you don't have the certain attributes, I think you don't. It's a lot of people running after the same money. And here's the bad news. Because that's not bad to me. It's like, oh, fine. I really don't care. I have other things to do with my life. Just don't call it the podcast industry. It's the podcast industrial complex. But here's the problem. The money ride is coming to an end. The free money, the Silicon Valley money, it's over. And just that's how interest rates work. The money is no longer going to flow the way it used to. Talk to your people in marketing. Advertising is drying up. And it's not just the podcast industrial complex. Advertising and marketing money is drying up everywhere, particularly online. It doesn't mean that there's less people advertising, although that is, of course, diminishing with economic circumstances. I mean, just as a general question, I would love to see an analysis. I was hoping Pod News may have this. I would like to see, how are these dynamically inserted ads that multiple hosting companies have implemented in the past few months? How are they doing? I don't hear anything about it.
Yeah, I never hear performance metrics on any of that.
You hear it about everybody else, and we'll have $6 billion running through podcasting in just a few short years. Is this working? I don't believe it is. And that's why podcast industrial complex conferences are really money funnels. But here's how I can prove to you that advertising online in general is a problem, and podcasting is going to be the first one to be cut off the list. And definitely now with this bullshit that went down at Podcast Movement, that's kryptonite. It doesn't matter who was right or who was wrong. That's kryptonite to advertisers. That's why I believe there's so much groveling from the PIC. They're saying, we're open to dialogue and we can all get along. And no. You're worried that advertisers are going to walk away, whether you're honest with yourself about it or not. I truly believe that. I've been around a long time.
I've got clips to prove it. I brought receipts.
Let's do that, and then I'll give you the payoff. What's happening? How about that?
Yeah, Ed. So Ed Ryan, if anybody hasn't seen his interview with, I think the guy's name is Boring, Jeremy Boring, which is a completely unfortunate name.
To some degree, yes.
Yeah, Ed Ryan from Radio Inc. did a great interview with the, I guess he's the co-founder or co-owner of Daily Wire. And it was good in the sense that I feel like it was very, there was two sides to this guy. The one side was, he was clearly being very honest with his emotions. He was upset. I mean, he said a lot of stuff. I mean, he did not hold back in this interview of saying exactly what he thought about the whole situation. But there was another side of it. The other side of it was, I feel like, sort of a calculated, some calculated phrasing that makes me think that something has changed where there could be lawsuits or some sort of seeking after damages for some of these things. Play clip one and we'll get into it.
So I get on this call with one of the co-owners and you know, I was fairly open-minded going into the call. I thought, you know, with a little luck, I'll get an apology. With a little luck, they'll take the tweet down and maybe we can all kind of get on with our lives. And instead, as I mentioned last night on Daily Wire's Backstage podcast, what I got was just an incredibly disingenuous phone call in which this gentleman told me that there was nothing remotely political about their tweet and that they were only actually upset because they don't really want podcast talent being at Podcast Network. Podcast Movement, a conference that exists for podcasters. So his argument was this wasn't political at all. You know, we were just surprised that Ben showed up. We don't let talent show up. And some of our other sponsors are angry because their talent wasn't invited. So I hope you understand that it wasn't political and that's all it was. And I'll be honest, I kind of choked up a little bit. My voice broke. I got utterly adrenalized. You have to understand, Ben Shapiro is my business partner, but Ben Shapiro is also my friend. And and to be lied to my face, to be told that a groveling apology that says they never should have taken our money, that our content is dangerous, that our very presence causes harm. You're going to tell me that this isn't political? You're going to tell me that this is, oh, we just don't like for talent, podcast talent to show up at our podcast conference? The audacity of it.
So to me, there's those two parts of this. Talks about the talent. We don't want the talent showing up. I think that's legit. I think there's a legitimate side to that. I bet you they don't. And the reason is when Ben Shapiro walked in the room, it was like, whoosh. I mean, it sucked everybody to the Daily Wire booth, even people who didn't like him.
This is contrary to every conference I've ever been involved in. You want Bill Gates walking the floor of Comdex.
But you want all of them like this. I think people got pissed because Shapiro showed up and it sucked everybody to the Daily Wire, including all the ad money and all that stuff. It was like every other agency in the room saw all the color drain out. What do you?
All right. So then why was I allowed to walk around? I'm no Ben Shapiro. Am I talent? Do people recognize me? Could I be polarizing?
But you don't take advertising.
I'm sorry.
You don't take advertising.
Oh, well, then they made a calculation by giving him a booth to start with.
Sure. When they said we didn't expect him to show up and that was a problem.
Okay. I'll take it back. Yeah. So when Bill Gates walked the floor of Comdex, he was controlled by the Comdex people. They made sure they were walking with him. They made, okay. It was an uncontrolled talent visit. Yes.
Uncontrolled talent visit. Uncontrolled money sucking of advertising to one side of the room.
Or just, you know what? It was oh my God, Dave, you've hit on, this is why there's two of us. So in addition to everything I said, the actual event itself was at least partially probably motivated by holy fuck balls. We can't have our money, you know, hanging out with that hooker, which is kind of what it is, right?
Yeah.
Good analysis. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think you understand now my clip numbering scheme where I started with zero instead of one.
I played one. Zero. I played zero. I played zero, okay. But you meant one.
Yeah, hit the actual number one.
Sorry, man, but that's not very podcast-like to have a clip named zero.
It's binary.
They think that they're in the right. They think that they're doing the right thing. They think that either on an ideological level that Ben's presence does cause harm, which is what they said. So I don't have to guess that that's what they think. It's what they said. We're dangerous. We cause harm just by being present, that we cause pain that will be with you always. Or it's just a calculated business decision, in which case it's even worse. Candidly, the owner of Podcast Movement, who I spoke to twice, told me that he shares my politics largely.
Uh-oh.
Well, that makes it even worse. And it's just a calculated, cowardly business decision to be more afraid of the woke mob than you are of hearing your own voice speak bigotry out into the world, even against people who you claim to agree with politically. The whole thing is absolutely disgusting.
You know, now that you framed it that way for me, Dave, I now I'm like, man, you're just yelling the wind about this was about money, bro. Y'all knew why you were there. You knew Ben would press some flesh with some money dudes. Yeah. This makes sense now. That's why they were all, oh, goodness.
Well, and so that clip right there, I think that's, to me, the veiled, slightly veiled phrasing of, you know what? This was a business decision. It wasn't honest. And he talks a little bit more in this interview about how the origin tweet, evidently, I can't find it anymore. I wish somebody would find this thing for me because I would enjoy looking at it. The original tweet that spawned this whole thing, and I'm glad, by the way, I'm glad that we took some time to sort of digest this and then do a hot take, you know, because
you are so the opposite of what I view as a hot take.
That's what my wife calls me, a hot take.
I bet.
Because I think we have more clarity on it now. But it's because he said, I would love to see this original tweet, because he mentioned something like, you know, the Podcast Movement responded to this one tweet that had 9 followers or something.
Yeah.
This is a real problem that may be beginning to manifest itself with either this event or just recently, where, so, you know, the social media companies, Twitter and everybody, have set themselves up with an editorial role. They've done that over the past 5 years, where they are now firmly established as editors of the content that is contained on their platform. Once you establish that you are in an editorial role, if you allow things on your platform that have actual damage, like monetary damages associated with it to a brand, whether it's a brand on the advertising side or a brand on the advertising money consumption side, it cuts both ways. Brand safety goes in both directions. Daily Wire, it takes advertising from whoever, I don't listen to the shows, but they take, let's just say they take advertising from Bank of America. Well, there's two brands involved. There's Bank of America and there's Daily Wire. If anything on Twitter's platform, if they allow content to stay up that is damaging to the brand of one or the other, and it's shown that content was malicious or untruthful, that can be a real problem for not just Twitter, but the brands that are involved. Like, there can be monetary damages. I see that going bad quick. And to me, that's what he was kind of
hinting at
is that play clip 2, which is actually clip 3.
What's the only satisfactory resolution for you with Podcast Movement at this point?
I mean, at this point, I don't know. Certainly nothing short of deleting these bigoted tweets apologizing for your bigotry with the same, at least the same level of self-effacing criticism and passion that you groveled before the woke mob with. I mean, I would think that if you actually are going to give that kind of 5 or 6 tweet apology, it should be for something you actually did wrong. And it was not wrong to let the 6th largest podcasting company in the country participate in your podcast conference. It was wrong to express abject bigotry against Ben Shapiro and to commit to Podcast Movement being a neutral conference. I mean, that's been my stance since the very first time that I spoke to anyone involved. That's what I've asked for. Today, would it be enough? I don't know, right? I mean, they've had these tweets up there for so long now. They've shown such disrespect. They obviously don't care. I don't know if it would be enough, but it would be a damn good start.
What do you think this means for Podcast Movement, the conference? Do you think it'll have any impact on it?
You can stop it. The point there is that, you know, he's really focusing on, you need to take these tweets down. They're bigoted. They're defamatory. The angle he's taking is that this caused them damage. Real world material damage. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah. I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay. So I know a little bit about Daily Wire's operation. They also don't have big national brands. I don't believe they have Bank of America. In fact, famously, Harry's Razor pulled their advertising from Daily Wire and their podcast network. And that boring guy right away said, okay, I'm starting the Boring Shaver Company. It was quite a successful launch and PR campaign. I have no idea how it's going now. They are all, and these are like, you know, Shapiro is famous for segueing into gold. You need to buy gold. So these are not big brand names. And that's what the podcast industrial complex is after. They're after the big names, the big money, the big sponsors. That's where all the money is. You go big or go home. But if you're a podcaster, but certainly if you're a podcast consultant, I gave some advice in the last board meeting. It's like you can easily consult people on value for value, and it may come in handy if you start sharpening up those skills. Because it started today. Now, all of a sudden, I'm hearing Silicon Valley people and lawmakers, congressmen and women, talking about the evil TikTok. TikTok has to, it's clearly a surveillance machine from the CCP. And I'm like, hold on a second. You're telling me now that suddenly there's consensus about something Orange Man said? Because this is Trump's thing. I'm like, this stinks. Huh. And of course it does. Google, Meta with Instagram, they are shitting themselves. The markets know it. All the money, all the advertising money is going to TikTok. It's all funneling there. And it's highly successful. It traps people. It grabs them in. The music business is in there. Spotify should also pay attention. Mm-hmm. TikTok. I mean, just some headlines. I put a lot of them in the show notes. Forbes, TikTok's takeover of marketing and commerce in 2022.
Ooh.
Google exec suggests, here, what is this from? TechCrunch. And this is from July. Google execs, suggest Instagram and TikTok are eating into Google's core products, search and maps. People are searching on TikTok for a restaurant and they're getting a cool TikTok video. You see, so it's hitting into search. Of course, we know Instagram has issues. Now we get, and this was the big news at the D conference, which is where it got my attention. The CEO of Axel Springer, huge media company, said, "What did he say? TikTok should be banned in every democracy." Yeah, sure. They're eating his advertising dollar lunch. That's what's going on here. Now, check this out. Google, this is Bloomberg. Google and Meta find video app success in India after TikTok is banned. Oh, you don't say. And then finally, the FCC commissioner. I do not know. I didn't look in the background of Brendan Carr. Says TikTok serious national security threat. We have to take action. Well, bullshit. First of all, I know firsthand it's LexisNexis that does all the signups and verification. So, you know, a pretty American company that's in the middle there.
Do they do that for TikTok?
They do that for different networks. Yeah. So it's not just all CCP, although is it any better? You know, Oracle's in there. So, okay, the CIA's in there. This is about Silicon Valley losing their lunch. And with it, some of the streamers are in trouble too, the streaming platforms. So the first thing to get cut from the budget is going to be that complicated podcasting because, you know, like they got issues and we had some diversity fight and I don't really know, but yeah, take them off the list. Let's double down the buy on TikTok.
Because that's more the sure thing.
Of course it is.
Yeah. You stay away from the kryptonite, as you said.
And there's no, the TikTok algo is so highly tuned for you. I mean, I don't know if your kids have TikTok, but it's very addictive. It's real.
Oh, yeah, very addictive. I mean, they do have it.
But
yeah.
I know grown men, I know adults who are like, check this shit out on TikTok.
I refuse to install that crap on my phone. I cannot handle
it. We are a TikTok-free home. So
just to add to what you said, in the security world this past couple of weeks, there was a TikTok quote unquote breach that it's still not entirely clear. People have come down and said, okay, well, this is a fake breach. I'm still not sure. I mean, I don't know, but there was a supposed like 2 billion record user breach from TikTok. You're right. There's definitely some TikTok centered outrage going on right now.
And I'm sure that it's valid, but they're using that to get rid of it because they are. And
yeah.
Just anyone who's in marketing, go look around. Let's just be honest with each other. That's what this is about. Shit. TikTok is eating our lunch. What do we have? Well, we have brand safety and suitability. That'll sell.
Yeah.
But your dynamically inserted ads, I think the money's going to TikTok. I just do. So, luckily, value for value, you're soaking in it right now. We don't need any of this. You know, we also don't need lists that we need to be on. We don't need to be on home.
Lists.
We need loops, not lists.
That's a t-shirt.
Thank you. Feedback loops are the key. Use the payment mechanism for the messaging. This is what works. Remember to ask. Loops, not lists. Lists are unimportant. You want to have a loop with your audience. You want them to loop other people in. Hopefully your loop can connect to another loop. Like Rogan, we connected in the Rogan loop, even though he doesn't really do his loop. He's loop-de-loop.
That's too many loops. I'm lost.
Sorry, I got lost in the loopage. But what I'm saying? It's like it really does work when you commit to it. People are lazy. They've been hoodwinked into thinking you can go to a conference and you'll come back with ways to make money on advertising. No. And there's no reason to. Most don't really deserve to make money unless it is earned from a loop, earned from your community. Then it's honest, it's sincere, it keeps everybody in check. The whole system works.
Eric P. just linked over to whitehouse.gov. Readout of White House listening session on tech platform accountability.
Ooh, accountability.
September 8th. That was yesterday. Although tech platforms can help keep us connected, create a vibrant marketplace of ideas, and open up new opportunities for bringing products to the world, they can also divide us and wreak serious real-world harms. Interesting. So this must be...
Well, they can. And if you put a whole city into or a whole state into one square and let everyone talk equally as loud, it would be a massacre.
Of course. Provide one of the principles, provide robust federal protections for Americans' privacy. There you go. There's your anti-TikTok. Pew. Protect our kids by putting in place even stronger privacy and online protections for them. Yeah, this is all anti-TikTok.
Is this just a report from the listening session? This is a precursor to legislation, because it can't be executive order. It has to be legislation.
Yeah, this is the meeting. This is the meeting for the meeting. This is the meeting.
Okay. This is the setup. This is the setup.
Yeah. Remove special legal protections for large tech platforms.
I just want people to realize the power that is being put into place here. This is Silicon Valley. They know exactly what they're doing. And they were completely, when Trump was talking about CCP, these people are insincere, full of shit. They want TikTok gone because TikTok is taking their money. And they're good at it. And TikTok's great at it. That's the problem.
Increased transparency about platforms, algorithms, and content moderation decisions. Algorithm. Yeah. This is all.
There you go.
Because everybody you talk to about TikTok, they're in love with the algorithm. It's the algo. They've got the best algo.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's eating everybody's lunch, and they want to get rid of the algo, or at least expose it so everybody else can do it too.
Exactly.
I love it.
Let's look at our own algo for a second. Thanks some of the live boosters we've had coming in.
Boost!
1212 from Anonymous. Adam and Dave are going to save us from the podcast industrial complex. Yes, we will.
The PSC.
Yes, indeed. Harf Hat, 11,111. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Martin Lindeskog. Wow, he says, with a row of ducks, 2222. I managed to send a boostergram during live. Thanks, Podverse. Row of ducks, 222.22 Satoshis. Thanks from Martin.
Thank you, Martin.
1,000 from Moritz. Thank you, Moritz. Another 11,111 from Pfeiffer. Gratuitous plug. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
There's Booberry with 99.99. Question. Been trying to think of a way to list producer credits. Right now, they're listed on top of our weekly Substack release. Is it possible to list a producer and their role in a person tag? We tried writing producers into the social interact tag, but decided to post images and links to our t-shirts there instead. Well, isn't this exactly what the person tag is for?
Yeah. Yeah. The person tag links to the podcast taxonomy for the role and group. I'm trying to pull it up now.
Let's see. And if you use sovereign feeds, maybe just start a test feed or import your existing one. You can go to cast. That's where you can enter pictures of people on the show, their roles, and it's very extensive.
Yeah, the full taxonomy list is on. Yeah, you have creative director, assistant director, executive producer, producer, senior producer, associate producer, development producer. Yeah, all that stuff's in there. You just need the role and possibly the group.
Chad F 10101. Adam, are you going on Timcast to school them on the history of podcasting? Oh, brother, this is so dumb. I guess they had a conversation. You know, who started pod? Who was the first pod? Whatever the question was, no. It was like, well, it was Adam Curry. No. He sold it to Apple. I mean, this is the level of it, right? Like, and then I think Ian. A lot of people want me to go on Tim Pool, but I think Tim Pool doesn't like me, and probably rightly so, because I made fun of him.
How much did Steve Jobs pay you for podcasting?
Well, as part of the agreement, I'm not allowed to say that I sold it to them. See, that's
okay. he gave you an Apple right. security letter.
That's right. I did. Booberry, 17,776. Big freedom boost. This is a new lit son of a bitch. Okay. Well, we got you. and that is, except for some smaller ones. There it is. Thank you all very much for your live boost. Shall we thank some other people while we're at it?
Is it that time? Have we already been talking for a while?
We solved three of the world's problems in the first 30 minutes. I figure we thank everybody, and then we can solve some more world problems.
Sure. Let me flip over to the boost to the boost dashboard, also known as my email.
Nice. Dashboard.
Let's see. Please remind me later. Wait,
I can do that differently. Dashboard.
Somehow just the word dashboard just screws it all up. It's just like just sad trumpet or whatever.
It is a little sad.
Because they're doing let me flip through here and make sure I can find my starting place.
Did I catch you off guard there, Dave? I'm
you
sorry.
Caught me off guard. Oh, here we go. All right. Appreciate that. All right.
Well, we're 110 in, you know, it's like we're having a good time.
Right. Liberty Boost from Sourced. 1776. Thank you, Sourced.
Thank you.
8008 boob donation from Sourced. He says, calculate that. I guess. Yeah, 808 calculate. I guess. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I got you.
C-dubs. C-dubs sent fire. 100 fire. 2133. Yep, that's what that was about. 3333 from C Brooklyn 112. No note. 100,000 sats from Booberry.
Ooh, nice. Thank you.
He says, air horn. One of the first things I asked myself beginning of 2020 was, what the hell is an RSS feed? It's been a sick ride. Thank you both.
Wait, I had a special one.
Air horn.
There you go.
Let's see. Let me flip. Some of these are overlap from the last show. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what the cutoff time was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we should probably make note of that in the future.
Yeah, we probably should. I need to look at the clock. Billy Bones, 333, says, thank you for creating Podcasting 2.0. You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Boomy. Boomy just sent us 10,000 sats. Dunka.
Oh, thanks, Boomy.
Dunka.
I'm getting there with the API, Boomy. I'm getting there. It's I'm going through.
We will make him work harder, Boomy. We'll put only pizza under the door.
Boobery sent us 17776. Super Liberty Boost. Yep. And he says, hella boost CLI pilled, man. Okay.
Yeah, right on.
Boostagram. He says, let's see, Kyron from the Mere Mortals podcast, and it's 100,100 sats from CurioCaster.
Ooh.
He says, I've been blessed. A special number episode, and at the time I can join, I was actually explaining Podcasting 2.0 at a crypto meetup recently, and people really got it when I related how splits could be used for musicians. An app to show them at the same time would be amazing.
Nice.
Yeah,
Streamers and Dreamers from Sup 3333. Boobery again said, Adam, have you seen what Sir Bimrose wrote up? A lot of these shows have their own IRC room too. It's under playlist.noagendastream.com/live-shows.
No, I have not. Noagendastream.com/live-shows. .htm?
No, it's live-shows/.
Oh, wait.
Playlist.noagendastream.com/live-shows/.
Live.
The two-hour folk hour.
Slash, okay.
Rock and roll pre-show. Oh, it's just a schedule.
Okay.
Schedule of when all the shows come through.
Oh, all right. Well, let's see. Are we on the schedule? Friday. Yeah, we're on the schedule. Although it says 1700. So we're really 1730. Yeah, well, that's UTC.
That's old. Okay. All right. Yeah, we're
on the schedule, man. We matter.
2.5 hours early.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks.
We're late every week.
Yes.
Gene Everett says, happy hundo. With 10,000 sats. Thank you.
Gene. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, Mike Dell sent us, he of Blueberry sent us 1,073 sats through Fountain. And he says, congratulations on 100 episodes. 73DEK8LMJ.
73s. Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie.
Auburn Citadel 4949. No note. Thank you, Auburn Citadel. Oh, wow. There's a string of these. He must have held down the button because it's just like, like 49, another one, third one, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, eight what? Of those bad boys. I don't, what is that? What?
Eight
times 49, 49.
I have no idea. Should I be checking the channels for this one?
No, I don't think it's that bad. It's a lot. Thank you, Auburn Citadel.
Wow.
Anonymous through Castomatics and has 21,722 sats and no note.
Okay, but thank you anyway. I appreciate that.
It's a shadowy supercoder is what that is. Anonymous, again, 22,232 row of ducks through Castomatic.
Thank you.
Roy Scheinfeld, 100,000 sats.
Boost.
Whoa. That's off-brand for him.
It is off-brand. I was expecting some 5-4-3-2-1, and he caught me off guard.
I think we need to do a wellness check.
A wellness check? No, 100,000 sats, that's well. He's well.
He's very well.
Yes.
Doing well indeed.
100 episodes. Wow, mind blown. Well, thank you, Roy.
Roy, thanks, brother.
Appreciate it, man. Sergeant Apple.
And by the way, and thank you, Roy. Thank you for being a part of every single one in one way or the other. Breeze
even
been
being on it.
Yeah, yes. And Breeze just being a phenomenal piece of the puzzle here.
Sergeant Apple sent us 5,000 sats through Fountain. He says, happy 100, guys. Oh, thank you, Sarge.
Thank you.
Boost!
Sarge.
Mere mortals. Kyron and Juan over there sent us 10,101 sats. And he says, amazing episode, guys. V for V talk and a smooth Aussie accent. What more could a listener want? By the way, that James ISO is my new favorite. You still got that one?
Oh. Let's see. Yes. Yes, I do have it here. It's kind of cool.
Please, Apple, come and talk to us. Please, Apple.
Gene Everett, 100,000 sats through Fountain. And he says, proper show 100 boost. Cheers, Dave and Adam.
Oh, well, thank you, Gene. Man. Cheers. Cheers
boost!
To you.
Boost. John Chidgey. 4,761 sats through the Python Boost app, of which he built.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hi, Dave and Adam, and listeners of Podcasting 2.0. Brian of London's Python example code with attitude helped me make this boostergram possible. Oh. It feels like some kind of hive mind, and I dig it. Anyway, I encourage anyone that isn't already listening to Causality to visit engineered.network as we analyze what went right and what went wrong, and we discover that many outcomes can be predicted, planned for, and even prevented. And you, too, decide if the listener that called me a dreamy narrator was right or not. See, that's how you do weekly advertising on another show.
And thanks for being on the show, man.
Uh-huh. It was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Pirate Hoddle sent us 33333 through Fountain. And he says, belated happy birthday, Adam.
Oh, thank you.
Boost! I was expecting that to be, you're 58, right?
I am.
I haven't seen any 58 boosts yet.
No, it'll happen.
Mary Oscar, also known as Oscar Mary, sent us through Fountain. He sent us 100,100 sats.
Nice.
Boost. And he says, congrats, Dave and Adam, on 100 episodes. Apologies to everyone listening on Fountain for the recent issues. Payment APIs have now been refactored and boosts much faster. Give it a try. Go podcasting.
Yeah, see, this is why I didn't solicit 58 sat boosts. You don't want to steer people in the wrong direction when they're celebrating 100,000.
That's a good point. You're what is known as a professional.
Well, I can consult.
Consultant professional.
Yeah, I'll consult you on how to do value for value. I need a hefty split in your block, but I'll take it.
I am still a Padawan. I'm still a cricket.
A cricket?
Auburn Citadel.
Cricket?
Yeah, isn't that where he takes the Kung Fu show with David?
Grasshopper. Grasshopper.
Grasshopper, David Carradine.
Grasshopper.
David Carradine.
When you can take the pebbles from my hand, it is time to leave, Grasshopper.
Auburn Citadel, 100,000 sats, and he says, nice. Le boost.
Yes, le boost.
And now, as the French say, it is time for le boost.
How's our French guy doing? Benjamin wished me a happy birthday, Benjamin Bellamy.
He did?
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Unlike anybody else.
I did.
I know, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Donkey sent us 100 sats, and he says, exactly, SoundCloud is a scam. Okay.
Okay. So, it doesn't mean we can't be in on it.
That's right. If there's a good scam going, join the party. Part B sent us 1,500 sats. No note. Thank you, Part B. C-dubs, send us a few. Oh, it looks like they're testing stuff. I love this. Every week, there's always a certain amount of boosts that come through. They're like small amounts, and there's like, test. Y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Anybody there?
Yes. Integration test. Okay, it worked. I've seen those. Those are pretty funny.
It's called testing with live money.
Yeah.
Cole McCormick, 1234.
Yeah.
Says, I'm slowly pushing my musician friends towards value for value and streaming sats. The intention is there. It's just a matter of time. Rocket ship heart.
Yeah, rocket ship heart. Nice.
Dave Jackson, School of Podcasting, the Hall of Famer, sent us 5,000 sats. No note. Oh, bummer. I wanted a note from Dave.
Oh, Dave.
Mega Duck Boost 22222 through Castomatic. Anonymous. No note. And that was twice.
Oh, well, yeah, hit the duck for him there.
Boobery, again. Boobery dominating the boards today at 333. Says, paging C-dubs. Okay.
Don't just stand there. Boost!
D's Laughs sent us 383 sats, and he just says, boost!
All right, man. Thank you.
Boost!
Sir Sean McCune, the dissident yinzer. Know what that means. The dissident Yinzer? Y-I-N-Z-E-R.
No idea what that means.
Cool. Through Castomatic, sent us 100,000 sats.
Bombshell.
Says, happy 100th. Emacs and VS Code boosting.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to defragment you.
You've been defragmented.
Brian Mazzi sent us 100,000 sats also.
Boost!
He says, congratulations on episode 100. Thank you for your courage, and thank you for all you do, for all your contributions to making podcasting better.
Thank you. And I'm so blown away by these 100,000 sat boosts.
Me too.
Yeah, and it's not so much the amount of money, it's the fact that people put thought into it. Hey, I'm going to do something special, a little extra, and you express it that way. And everybody's happy.
That's the numerology. Castomatic, I think he had a bug in the last version because he released it, and all of a sudden, the boost amounts were only in whole dollar value, whole sat value. So I could only do like 5,200 or 5,300. I couldn't
you couldn't do your 2,112.
Yeah, I couldn't, and it, oh man, it was like, I was like, no.
I've gone.
And then they fixed it.
I've gone stock to 10,000 just as a boost, 25,000 for a boostagram. And it's really brought my boosting back a bit.
Oh, that's a good idea. Just pick
but it's, solid but it's also numbers. Meaningful. I really mean it. If I'm going to send you something, I'm going to send you 25,000 sats because I mean it.
That's a good one. That's a good way to do it. Chris, you know, sent us 5,000 sats through Podverse. No message, though. SLC sent us 12345, and he says, he or she says, I'm a big fan of alternatives. Thank you for your courage. Make kids trade on V for V.
Yes. No kidding.
Go podcasting!
I'll add that one.
I'll go ahead and read this one. Sir Jen, 100 sats. In the morning, congratulations of show 100, Dave and Adam. Thank you.
Thank you.
1480 through D.
So we're reading under 1,000 again?
Well, I'm not. It's just, there was a few notes.
It's also 100s. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, 100.
Yeah.
1480 from Dylan through Fountain App. No note. Thank you. 1234 from Cole McCormick again. He says, I believe in podcasting. I believe in the people. I believe allegiance to the namespace.
Boost!
Indeed.
Let's see, 1,000 sats from Kyron, Mere Mortals. He says, I'm testing out Albie on Podverse. Enjoy.
Yeah, thank you. We'll enjoy. Yes.
Yes, I'm going to enjoy it.
Testing with cash.
Mm-hmm. Always a good plan.
Well, makes you think about your bugs, doesn't it?
It does. 47,099 sats through from Brian of London and the Hive DAO.
Hey, Hivers.
He says, this donation is in honor of my youngest son, Surfing Boy, who will be bar mitzvah tomorrow. Mazel tov to Surfing Boy.
Oh, hold on a second. For the Surfing Boy. It's a surfer bird. It's a surfer bird.
Okay. Mazel tov, Surfing Boy. Comic strip blogger, The Delimiter, 15,033 sats.
There he is.
He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. please enter AI.cooking in your browser or podcatcher to chillax with silky voice of His Majesty Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent, jibber jabbering about artificial intelligence. Yo.
Thank you, CSD. All right, value for value. You know how it works. Whatever you think this is worth, you're spending your time. Put it into some numbers and get a podcast app at newpodcastapps.com and send us a boostergram. Let us know what you think. Let us know why you think it's valuable. And that's the beauty of it. You get to determine. And we get to continue doing this. Another week, we appreciate it. We also have monthlies.
We got some monthlies, also known as the excruciatingly slow t-shirt layaway plan. David Midas, $10. Joseph Maraca, $5. Cameron Rose, $25. Jeremy New, $5. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Podverse, $50. Thank you, Podverse. Mitch Downey, who's also part of Podverse, $10. And Christopher Harabarek, $10. That's our monthlies. Good group.
Thank you all very much. But not just a good group, a good-looking group. And
Beautiful group.
You can support us as with any of the aforementioned new podcast apps. Also, you can go to podcastindex.org, go down to the bottom. Big red donate button if you want to give us Fiat Fun coupons through PayPal or credit card. You can use that there. Or scan the QR codes on-chain or Lightning, of which no one has made any use this week or last week. And the week before, we did have one. I'm glad everyone said we should do that. How many? Hey, man, you should put up pay on chain. I'll pay on chain.
Can we just eradicate the word should from podcasting 2.0?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
Anytime somebody says, is some, you know, some blah, 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 you should.
Yeah, that's when I tune out.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, whatever.
I was like, no, okay. No, I'm all right.
There's an ISO in there that says name that dude. Just play this, and I want you to tell me who you think this is.
Can you imagine?
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Gosh, I don't know, Dave.
Does it not sound exactly like Tom Woods?
Can you imagine?
It has a bit of the cadence. It's not his tone or timbre. I also thought for a second it might be, is it Justin, the guy from Disaffected?
No, this is that Jeremy Boring guy, but he...
Oh, interesting.
He sounded so much like Tom Woods to me when I closed my eyes and wasn't looking at
him. Oh, it seems like he would be a Mises guy, a Mises Institute libertarian guy.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he probably listens to Tom Woods. There you go. Yeah,
he picked it up. It's the milieu. He picked up the cadence.
Sure, well, that's fine. That's fine.
I've got a little bit here about what NPR thinks about podcasters.
Oh,
listen to that.
Yes, I'd love to listen to that.
Yeah, far away.
Where is it? Oh, NPR. I got you. Oh.
But then you also do get, in podcasting, as was the case in blogging, a certain amount of grifting and people whose stuff is kind of gross, as well as just people who aren't following, I don't know, the rules that you would want them to follow.
Ah! We want them to follow the rules. Oh, yeah. You know,
the rules you'd want them to follow.
What's so fun about the canceling of podcasts is that, you know, it's ineffective. People go, oh, I'm going to take it off Apple or Spotify. Yeah, maybe. But the only way to effectively, really effectively do it is to go to the host.
Yeah.
And that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun in the future to see how hosts really react when you're really under fire. We haven't seen that yet because the people who do cancellation, they're too stupid to figure it out. They don't quite know. I mean, they'll send us to get it out of the index, take it down. Seldomly, but it happens.
Harv Hat this week, and I will read the words of Harv Hat on the index, he said. On the index Mastodon, he said, someone should be able to go to a podcast website, like women maybe, and from the web-embedded player, generate a Sorry. No, I think he's referring to your correct analysis that women you.
I'm sorry. It's the ad sales department.
What the hell did y'all say? I think he is referring to your correct assertion that women listen to podcasts on websites.
A lot do. Podcast players. A lot do. Yes.
Okay, so let me rephrase. Someone should be able to go to a podcast website, like women maybe, and from the embedded player, generate a QR code which they can scan with a Lightning wallet to boost the podcast.
Oh, I like that too. I like that idea.
Yeah, so this is a valid use case for
LNURLP.
Yeah. But you don't want that. You don't want that to be like the primary method. Like it. So this led me down the rabbit hole of, should there be an alternative method?
You just said should.
No, I'm talking to the universe.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Could there be?
It's fucked up, right?
You bastard. Could there be an alternative method in the value block where you could say, okay, here's the primary method, key send. Here's the alternative or sort of fallback method, LNURLP. Because you'd want to have both sometimes under certain situations. Maybe. I don't know, man.
The LNURL mafia just pissed me off with this approach. I'm like, why would I help those guys with anything? They don't care. They just want it in there. They're not going to develop. They're not going to do anything. They're going to do anything.
Yeah, the lazy ass bitches. We got, so like we're doing their job for them.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just,
they're still lazy.
You should. It should have this. It should have that. Okay, well, all right. We're good to put it in, man. We'll promote it. I love what we put together, Dave. The only person who has to work is you, unfortunately.
And the Albie people, the Albie guys are
but this is what's so beautiful. You know, it's like, hey, do it. We'll talk about it. We'll point people towards it. Get it going. It's where most people fall away with their criticism or their shoulds.
Well, Michael from Albie emailed me this morning and said they have their key send address format down. So now everybody who has an Albie address.
Oh, just direct key send. They have to use customs.
If you use your Dave at get out, or like for me, Dave at getalbie.com.
Okay. Yeah.
You can now resolve that to a key send address.
Sweet.
Instead of an LNUR, instead of an invoice. You can, or a Bolt 11 or whatever.
Yeah, I love it.
And the it resolves to Dave at getalbie.com goes to getalbie.com/.well-known/keysend/Dave.
And is that just a text file that has the a JSON in it or something?
Yeah, exactly. And it's got, but the cool thing here is it's got the node and it's got the custom key, custom value for the routing, all of that in it.
Oh, cool. Excellent. So you can do it. Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. So nice. You just pop that into your, the apps will need to support it. Well, they need to know that it exists. And so if they see a Lightning address, they can look for that now.
I love it.
And cache it or whatever.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad that he just did it.
Yeah.
Because if you go petition the lab, they're never going to give you, they're just going
to
talk about it.
Man, we got to be careful. These Germans, man, you know, they may be here to take over the world. And before we wake up one day and we're speaking Deutsch. I thought the French were going to do it for a minute there with Benjamin. Oh, I know how podcasting 2.0 ends. As usual, the French and the Germans will go to war together.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then the French will call us, and we'll get involved.
Yeah, exactly.
The XMPP stuff.
Yes.
This needs to be discussed.
Yes, I think we need to bring some people on into the board meeting to discuss this.
Who do you think we need to bring? I'm thinking Alex.
Yes, Alex. And maybe Mitch, because he's already doing stuff, right? He's already porting IRC into the interface.
Mm-hmm. I think Alex and Mitch would. I think we need to bring in the XMPP committee.
Oh, yes, the XMPP committee. The XMPP task force.
Task force, strike team, strike team.
No, steering committee.
No, I like strike team better because they have they get guns.
Okay. Oh, yes. All right. It's like, welcome to the XMPP strike force. Here's your gear. Okay. Yeah. We tested it for you. It works fine. Perfect.
It's like, Mitch, safety, brother. Put safety on.
Hey, get that booger finger off that trigger. All right.
Booger finger. I'm clip heavy today. I'm dominated with clips here. I want to play this because this is relevant to this discussion. Play Carmack capability versus destination.
So we were talking about that back in the Doom and Quake days, about how do you wind up with an interconnected set of worlds that you kind of visit from one to another. And as web pages were becoming a thing, you start thinking about what is the interactive kind of 3D based equivalent of this. And there were a lot of really bad takes. You had, you know, like Vermal, then virtual reality markup languages. And there's aspects like that came from people saying, well, what kind of capabilities should we develop to enable this? Mm-hmm. And that kind of capability first work has usually not panned out very well. On the other hand, we have successful games that started with things like Doom and Quake and communities that formed around those. And whether it was server lists in the early days or, you know, literal portaling between different games, and then modern things that are on completely different order of magnitude, like Minecraft and Fortnite, that have 100 million plus users. Mm. You know, I still think that that's the right way to go to build the metaverse, is you build something that's amazing, that people love and people wind up spending all their time in because it's awesome, and you expand the capabilities of that.
So now, even if it's a very basic experience,
as long as people, awesome. Minecraft is an amazing case study in so many things, where what's been able to be done with that is really enlightening. And there are other cases where, like right now, Roblox is basically a game construction kit aimed at kids. And that was a capability first play, and it's achieving scale that's on the same order of those things. So it's not impossible, but my preferred bet would be you make something amazing that people love and you make it better and better.
Okay. Yeah. So he's talking about building to a capability versus building to a destination. Or a product.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's relevant to the work that we're doing in, you know, here with everybody building things here in Podcasting 2.0. You know, he's right that there is a danger of building towards a capability. You say, okay, we want to be able to do this thing. Now let's build the spec, and then the products will follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've probably been more successful than we otherwise would have as a project. I
completely agree. Yeah.
Maybe because of luck and pent up demand, but there will be and the reason I'm bringing this up now is because when it comes to chat, live chat, I think this will become a problem if we don't do this right. And this is why I've been a little hesitant to even start, because what you have is you don't have a lot of shows that do live chat.
No, very few, actually.
Yeah, very few. You, you've got with no, the No Agenda Stream, ATP.
Let me say up front that what I'm looking for is doing this with video, because that's what people are looking to bail from YouTube.
Right.
And there's a pent up demand for that. So, there's never really been this infrastructure. So we're building something that really works for a few existing shows. I think in the value for value model works very well. Look at Sir Spencer stuff and Booberry, and No Agenda Stream in general. You know, like everyone's boosting around, they're doing all kinds of stuff. That's all based on a lot of live. There's, mm-hmm. there's a lot of shows that take place live through No Agenda Stream. The opportunity is the people who are doing stuff live on YouTube. They have StreamYard. They want to add something, you know, and that we have the feedback loop. If it was just a way to stream to an app, I don't think we'd get any uptake, because there's the ability to have the boostergrams. That's why this is, I think, there's a perceived demand for this.
Yes. Yeah. No, yeah, I can see what you, I see what you're saying, because you have, so you need the whole thing. You need the whole stack.
You do.
And the stack already exists in certain places. The challenge is to package the stack in a way that it's portable, where other people can do it without it breaking their back, like technology wise and effort wise.
Right.
And so if you, but you also have to, at the same time, not build a whole new stack and force the existing people to adopt that stack.
Agreed. So,
like, because what you don't want is to say, okay, well, Fun Fact Friday, ATP, no agenda. We're all going to do this thing. And we've built this great thing. We've integrated XMPP into all the apps. So it's great. Y'all just all get rid of your IRC chat and get and switch to XMPP.
Correct. You don't want to do that. That's
you,
not
you good. Don't want. Yeah. No, that's building. That. That's building to a capability and not to an existing destination.
Completely agree.
And so if we do, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Please.
If we do both, is generally where I think we've had success as a project. Because people, there's always one part of Podcasting 2.0 that's pushing things into the existing stack. Like I'm thinking about the BoostBot work, and
yes, it's people using it. It's people app. It's driven by users, driven by applications.
Yeah, they're like, we already have this thing. We just want to stick this thing. We just want to put this new thing into our existing thing. They plug that in,
right?
And then there's this other part. That would be sort of like Spurlock and Alex, who are building to a capability and saying, okay, that thing that already exists doesn't scale. It's not going to do the thing that you want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to go to the next level, you need this other thing, and here's that thing. We're going to give it to you. And you really have... When both have existed, there's been a lot of success there. And I think we can do the same thing. I think we have to do the same thing with live chat. We have to support, we have to integrate the two. XMPP to me is clearly superior to IRC for many reasons when it comes to being able to do multi-app chat. But also it's just not realistic to make people switch off IRC. So, There needs to be gateways there or linkage there between the two, where they can coexist, so that we have even the a framework or a mental model of how to design this live chat tag.
I completely agree. To me, that's the only way to go. From what I understand, there's a way to bridge XMPP to IRC. And what I don't find acceptable is, well, you know, that's going to be a pain in the ass for people with IRC servers. Nah, I think you make that happen. You know, if you really want to do this, then you'll figure out how to get the bridge in. I think, you know, it's like that should be the only concession for the IRC users. You may have to, might have to snap into bridge or something. That shouldn't be, you know, we do it once, 90% of the people using it can do it.
And that's what I'm thinking about for the tag. So, you know, we ship the tag at some point, and we say, okay, here's the attributes. Here's all the ways the tag is going to describe where the IRC chat lives or whatever this chat is, you know, whatever this thing is, where it lives. And then if it's IRC, there's also this recommendation that says, okay, now go, you know, you need an XMPP bridge. Here it is.
Right. Yeah.
And you can plug that in and you're good. You're good to go.
I love it.
It can't just be the tag, but we also have to know what the other thing, what the other component is going to be before we can create the tag, because otherwise you'll half-ass implement the tag.
Yeah. I love it. Sounds good. You got me 100% on that. 100. Well, 100.
It was.
One time for the one time.
That was easier than I thought it was. I was expecting this to be a challenge.
No, not at all. No, man. Dave.
Should there be,
you know, after you know, how long have we been together? 35 years. I think we figured it out. You know, we know how to work with each other.
You know all my favorite recipes, Adam. I do.
Should we call this meeting adjourned?
I've got an ISO. I don't know if it's going to be a disappointment.
After that jolly old punchline, probably. Let's see. What do you got?
I'm a podcaster.
Okay.
I'm a podcaster.
It's a little flat. A little flat.
Just a little flat. Brother, this was good. I have to go back and listen and figure out all the things we solved. I know we solved something.
We did. Maybe more than one thing, but maybe, you know.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting us with your value for value. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
I'm a podcaster.
Go podcasting!
All right.
Ending the stream. Shit, man. I have to go back and listen. I don't remember all the things that we fixed, but we fixed them. So proud of us.
We fixed them by accident is what happened.
I really don't know what happened, but we did something. I remember the feeling. I remember liking the feeling.
I'm kind of the same way. This is I don't know. It's like overcast and gloomy here, and I don't have.
Oh, really?
But I'm like, I'm kind of in a fog, and I'm like, yeah. We did some cool stuff.
I just don't remember what it was. Yeah. All right, man. I'll get this up and out ASAP.
All right, bro. I'm headed back to work. We'll see you.
All right. Have a great weekend, Dave.
All right, man. You too. Bye.